The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples said to him, then he began to speak, and Jesus taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Take all your seats. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a fool for Jesus. It's true. Today's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm in church. The fact that you're in church on Super Bowl Sunday makes you a fool for Christ as well. I thank you for being here. St. Paul in today's letter says, the wisdom of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. The wisdom of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. How can the gospel be foolish? Because the gospel turns the world upside down. The gospel turns the things that we are to cultivate in our lives, the things that we are to search for, the things that we are to hold up as good, upside down from that of the world. And there's no new message in that to you. I talk about it all the time. I won't do it today. But it's interesting that Paul says that the gospel of Christ, the foolishness of the cross, as he calls it, has no meaning to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, is the power of God. And to buttress that, we have these words of Christ, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are hungry, blessed are those who work for righteousness, blessed are those who are persecuted. This is why I'm a fool. Because I've gone through those things in my life. You've gone through those things in your life. The world says those things should be despised at all costs. We should never want to be lonely. We should never want to feel downtrodden. We should never be depressed. We should always be happy. We should never be poor. We should always be rich. We should never be hungry. We should always be filled. We should never be sad. We should always be happy. This is the wisdom of the world. We have products we can buy. We have drugs we can take. We have places we can go. We have books we can read. We have music we can listen to. Television shows and New Age gurus we can follow to precisely make sure that we do not experience those things which cause us hardship. Those things that we believe are less than perfect. That is the wisdom of the world. That perfection can be obtained. Perfection can be purchased. It can be swallowed in the form of a caplet. It can be understood and learned in the pages of a book, from a guru on television, from something we buy, you name it. Perfection can be obtained. But as I hear Christ's words today, these foolish words, Words that Paul says the world does not want to hear. Words that Paul says the world rejects. I have to look honestly at my life. When have I learned most about God? When have I learned the most about love? In my marriage? With my children? With you? With God? When have I learned the most about my faith? How strong it is or how fragile it is? When have I learned the most about Christ's walk with me? About Christ's ministry, His suffering, His death, His resurrection, what that means for me? And I've learned the most. I've grown the most. I've experienced the most during the time of sickness. If not absolute poverty, then relative poverty. During times of sadness, during times of mourning, during times of persecution, during times of doubt, during times of ridicule, during times of trying to be a peacemaker, during these things that the world says no, run away from them as fast as you can. When I've lived them, and I've thought about them, prayed about them, immersed myself in them, that is when I have grown most deeply. That's when I've most powerfully experienced the blessing of God. In this foolishness. When do I most experience God? The highs or the lows? The green pastures or the valley of the shadow of death? If I am honest with myself and with you, I most fully experience God, I most fully understand God, and I most know what God means to me and to my future, not during the green pastures, but during the valley of the shadow of death. My enemies surround me. Your rod and thy staff, they protect me. This is where I learn of God. This is where I experience blessing. This is where the salvation is being made known to me. It's easy. I'm speaking for myself here. To be real in love with God during days of joy. When things go well, when sickness is overcome, when problems disappear, when finances improve, whatever it may be, it's easy to say, thanks be to God. I'm glad I didn't die in that car accident. I'm glad I won the lottery. I'm glad I finished this project. I'm glad someone said something nice about me. Who knows? It's really easy to feel good about God. What about during times of hardship? Times of sickness? Times when you're sitting beside someone's hospital bed? Times when a marriage is disintegrating? Times when the bills are overdue? Times when you're watching your child sit in a hospital bed? Then, what do you learn? If the world says, run from these experiences, then we won't process them, we won't think about them, we won't pray about them, we won't live with them, we won't let them gestate in us, because these are evil. These are bad. We want to separate ourselves from these things. But if Christ today says that those who are mourned are being blessed, if Christ today says the meek are being blessed, if Christ today says the poor are being blessed, if Christ today says those who are being persecuted are being blessed, then I think we ought to stop and we're going through that in our lives. When we're facing persecution for our beliefs or our efforts, we should stop and wonder, how is God at work in here? When we are mourning, we shouldn't just draw the stiff upper lip, say everything's okay, and pretend like nothing happened. We should stop. And we should wonder, how is God at work in this moment? How are we being blessed? When we're going through sickness, we shouldn't pretend it doesn't exist. We should stop and say, how is God at work in this moment? How are these words of Christ coming to fruition? When we're experiencing poverty, how is this more fully making us in the image of the risen Lord? Stop. This is the foolishness of the cross. The cross says these things have redeeming value. The cross says God speaks to us, not just through triumph, not just in the beautiful green pastures, but God speaks to us in the dark valleys of our lives. That God doesn't just speak to us at weddings, but God speaks to us at funerals. That God doesn't just speak to us at marriage, but at divorce. That God just doesn't speak to us at birth, but at death. And that's foolish to the world. But we know the truth. We know that we cannot insulate ourselves from our human existence, from our earthbound lives, from the old Adam that's in us and around us, from our clock that is ticking. We can make the outside look shiny and nice. We can put on a strong front. We can smile like nothing's wrong, but we know inside of our lives that we experience these words of Christ. These are words that are meant for us. We are people who mourn. We are people who experience a poverty of friendship, of love, of support, of the Spirit. Do not just put things in financial terms, because Christ doesn't. Put things in relationship terms. We experience, if we are living out our faith, if we are sharing the good news of the gospel, if we are sharing that which the world thinks is foolish, we will experience persecution. We will experience ridicule. If we are working to be peacemakers, to make the love of God known, to bring reconciliation and healing to our families and our places of employment and our friendships, we will be outcast and downtrodden. So take these things. The world gives them to you already. Don't just shrug them off. Don't just bury them down deep inside of you. Don't just say if you ignore them, they'll go away. Take them. Pray about them. Question them. Ask, what does this say about my relationship to God? How does this make the gospel come alive in my life? Because that's the foolishness of Christ. Think about it. Here's what Paul is saying. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could have done anything. Could have brought down the heavenly army of angels. Could have picked up the sword. Could have overthrown the world government. Could have put a big golden throne on the highest mountain and ruled us. But here the Son of God, Jesus Christ, comes to us on the cross. He lets the world reject Him so that we might know how to handle rejection. He lets the world scorn Him and beat Him and abuse Him so that we might know how to handle the scorn and abuse and beating that the world gives us. He lets His disciples and His followers abandon Him so that we might better learn how to handle abandonment in our life. And then at that end, He hangs His head. He says, "It is finished," so that we might better be able to conquer death in our lives. And He rises. And that's foolish. Because Christ takes that which the world despises and uses it as a source of power. Uses it as the text of His ministry. This is what brings us together. This is our heavenly King. A cross. An empty tomb. A ragtag bunch of followers. A church that can't compete with a television program at 5 o'clock tonight. And here we are. My friends, this is foolish. And what do we get out of it? We will still experience sickness. We will still experience poverty. We will still experience scorn. There will be times that we're not happy. But here's the difference. For us, it's in context. We, like Christ, can grab power and grab knowledge and more fully experience the Spirit and God's love for us in that which the world tries to run from. And we can never outrun these things, but what we can do is we can claim them. And we can say, God, in my mother's death, I learned something about love. I learned something about prayer. I learned something about my mortality. I learned something about the power of faith lived in community. I grew. In sickness we learn something. In poverty we learn something. In ridicule we can learn something. These are not simply empty experiences. Flesh wounds that we try and heal and hide up. But these are the things that form us. These are the things that form our marriages. These are the things that form us as parents. These are the things that galvanize us and make us who we are. It's not how we handle success. Any idiot can handle success. How do we handle failure? Failure in the form of sickness. Failure in the form of relationships crumbling. Failure in the form of poverty. How do we handle that? This is our high watermark of faith. This is the foolishness of the gospel. That we can accept that which comes. That we can take it and we can transform it and we can have the power to say, God, thank you for being present in that. That's good news. And that's the power of the gospel. That's why I'm a fool for Christ. I'm here today because this is how I experience God. I'm bound to ministry because I have powerfully experienced God. Not in the highest points of my life, but I have most powerfully experienced God in the lowest points of my life. And for me, that's the power of faith. That's the power of God who was with me. I have seen God across people's kitchen tables during difficult evenings. I have seen God in the palliative care rooms of hospitals. I have seen God in my family and in my life. In my sickness, in my doubt, and in my health, and in my joy, and in my love, but God is with me. This is why I'm so passionate about it. This is what I want to share with the world, that you don't need to suffer. You don't need to pretend that things are better than they are. You don't need to simply go through life hiding your true reality. See, to be honest with ourselves, and the world doesn't want you to be honest with yourself. The world wants to deceive yourself. The world wants you to live in darkness. Because if you live in darkness, then you don't need God. If you live in darkness, things are pretty good. But the light of the gospel illuminates our lives. The light of the gospel says to me, things aren't that good. As perfect as you think they are, as perfect as you think you've made them, they are fundamentally flawed. Relationships are crumbling. Societies are weakening. Things aren't good. And that's the light of the gospel. That's our true condition. It's foolishness to think otherwise. To pat ourselves on the back and say, we're self-made people. Things are good. Things are great. Because things aren't good and things aren't great. And we know that, I think, instinctively inside of us. We know that we're fragile. Paul writes that we're like clay jars. Easily cracked. Broken. I believe that's true. But the foolishness of the gospel tells me that God is able to use the fragile. That God is able to use the broken. That God is able to use the discarded. That God is able to use the seemingly worthless to do the miraculous. And that's good news for me, because that is who I am. What power do I have? No great wealth. No great influence. I could go on and on with this list. But I'll spare myself that. So I'm saying, God, use me as I am. And that's the good news. Because God uses me and God uses you. God uses you where you are. God can use your sickness to bless you. God can use your poverty to bring blessing to you. God can use your worry and your angst and you name it to bless you. This is why Christ can stand there and say, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those who thirst. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Because we most fully see God in these experiences. This is why I am a fool for Christ. I don't want to shrug these experiences off. I don't want to hide from these experiences. I don't want to pretend these experiences don't exist, because they do. And as I live through them, I know that, as Paul says today, that is the power of us who are being saved. As I go through them, I am being saved. You notice Paul doesn't say in the first verse of today's reading, are saved? We are being saved. This is an active verb. As we go through the realities of life, we are being saved. We are being liberated. We are being blessed. We are being loved. And we are being taken to that new creation, that new Jerusalem, the Omega of the Alpha. I am a fool for Christ. You are a fool for Christ. And we will be foolish together, because God is our wisdom. Amen.